Good morning, and a very warm welcome to you as we gather together on our online format for this worship time. As we share together, we're going to begin as we read from Psalm 13. A prayer for help. How much longer will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How much longer will you hide yourself from me? How long must I endure trouble? How long will sorrow fill my heart day and night? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look at me, O Lord my God, and answer me. Restore my strength. Don't let me die. Don't let my enemies say, "We have defeated him." Don't let them gloat over my downfall. I rely on your constant love. I will be glad because you will rescue me. I will sing to you, O Lord, because you have been good to me. We continue our worship as we sing together that well-known hymn, O Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. We turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Lord, as we share together in our worship, we are so aware of the things that surround us, that sap our lives of hope, that cause us to be discouraged, that cause us, Lord, to drift from our path of following you. As we sing our songs, as we share together in worship, Lord, it is our prayer that we would keep our eyes focused on you, that you are our God, our Lord, that through you, you bring hope, courage, life, and encouragement. So, Lord, be all glory to you as we worship together. May you be delighted as we offer ourselves to you. Through your Spirit, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through scriptures that are read. And as we reflect on that, we pray, Lord, your Spirit would lead us and challenge us and make us walk more closely in our path with you. And so we commit this time, Lord, into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our second reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, as Paul writes, "You are chosen for salvation. We must thank God at all times for you, friends, you whom the Lord loves. For God chose you as the first to be saved by the Spirit's power to make you his holy people and by your faith in the truth. God called you to this through the good news we preached to you. He called you to possess and share of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, our friends, stand firm and hold on to those truths which we taught you, both in our preaching and in our letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us unfailing courage and a firm hope, encourage you and strengthen you to always do and say what is good." May God bless his reading to us. Amen. The Thessalonica church was a prominent port city in its day. It was a trading hub of its time. The church in Thessalonica was a very young church, and because of the surrounding context, so it was plagued with paganism. It had to stand up against bitter persecution and many struggles. In both of Paul's letters that he wrote, there are references to persecutions and tribulations that they suffered. Also, they struggled with their understanding of New Testament theology. And this is probably why Paul writes to them in the way that he does in these two letters. But what we want to focus on more appropriately is that in both letters, there are definite elements of encouragement around the promises of God. And so here, these two verses from the passage we read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just verses 16 and 17. "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us unfailing courage and a firm hope, encourage you and strengthen you to always do and say what is good." We're not exactly sure of the specific circumstances under which Paul writes this particular passage, but looking at the two letters of Thessalonians, we see that there is a great need for comfort, for hope, and for unfailing courage. There's a ditty that goes like this: "For there are no eyes that have not wept, nor will weep. There is no breath that has not sighed, nor will not sigh. No hearts that have not bled, nor will not bleed." We are all in need of courage, of encouragement, of hope. We look around at the world, we look at the world around us, and we see on our news feeds mass killings and shootings, trucks that are getting hijacked and then set alight in some sort of protest, rising interest rates, rising fuel prices. A new thing that has hit our radar is artificial intelligence anxiety, AIA. How is that going to impact us in the future? We've just read this past week about the devastating explosion in Johannesburg. We are all in need of courage, encouragement, and hope. Paul's first note of encouragement in these verses comes, and it really is a recognition of the divinity of Jesus Christ. In verse 16 it says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ himself." We all know that. But what is so remarkable about this particular affirmation is that Jesus is mentioned first. He's mentioned before God the Father. Jesus is given a prime position with his ultimate title, Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere in Scripture, when Paul writes, he always puts Jesus after God our Father. Jesus always comes second, but not in this case. In the midst of Thessalonian turmoil, Paul points first to Christ. Christ who shares the throne with God. In Paul's theology, we come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And amidst the turmoil and tribulations, Paul points first to Christ. Is Christ our first point of call? We need to be asking ourselves, do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? Do you believe Jesus to be truly divine? There really are only two options. Either Jesus was a good man who died and lies in some unmarked, unknown grave, ignorant of all that is going on here today, and that there is a notion that there is no way that he can help us. Help is a delusion or a dream. Or else, on the other hand, Jesus is the ever-living divine Christ, to whom we mere mortals can speak with certainty that he does hear us, and who does yield and wield energy of the deity, and works the same kind of works his Father did to bless the souls who trust him. You can't have it both ways. Jesus is either deity or delusion. And Paul, as he writes, he reminds us that Jesus is Lord Jesus Christ. Is he our first port of call? Then Paul goes on to remind us that Jesus loved us and in grace, his grace, gave us unfailing courage and a firm hope. Love always finds its voice in giving. Love is nothing unless it is expressed. Love is the infinite desire to give and to be given. And the language of love is always gift. The gift of time, the gift of resources, the gift of skills, ability, the gift of listening. According to Paul, there is one event in which Christ's divine love is manifested, in which Christ's divine love is demonstrated, and that is Christ on Calvary. Of all the gifts that God gives us, there is none greater, more eternal, more real, more powerful than Christ giving himself on Calvary. Christ is our hope and the ultimate gift through whom everlasting encouragement and consolation is given to all. Paul describes hope as a firm hope through grace. In many ways, we have belittled hope by partnering it with fear. But the hope that Paul speaks of was born on the cross. If Christ could go through all that he did, everything that he did for us, and he continues to promise that he will be with us and that he will never leave us, then we have a firm hope that we can get through anything. A firm hope that whatever we face, whatever circumstances come, whatever issues we have to deal with, we can get through that with Jesus, who is with us. And so to sum up so far, the church at Thessalonica is struggling with persecution and turbulent times. And Paul writes to them as he writes to us, reminding them and also reminding us who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Reminding us of the love of Jesus, expressed so perfectly, demonstrated so fully on the cross. And that in that, hope is found in Jesus, the Christ. But here's the challenge. As much as all of that is true and we have all that, as much as we know that Christ is supreme, as much as we have Christ and his cross, as much as we have hope and have faith, as much as we are encouraged and loved, we need to be hope givers. And so Paul concludes those two verses that we read, to always do and say what is good. If we believe everything that we've said, we need to pass that on. We need to always do and say what is good. There are two verses that come to mind. The first one comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. In whatever you do, your humdrum life, your active life, your busy life, whatever it is you're involved in, work, pleasure, family life, in whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. That's what we need to be doing. Passing on hope in whatever we do. And we do it for Christ. The second verse comes from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, and it reads, "What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words." Our words are powerful. The words we speak bring life, preserve life, or destroy it. And so we need to be sharing hope, giving hope through the words we speak. We need to be hope and life givers in all we do and in all we say. Let us pray. And so, Lord, as we face life with all its turmoils, with all its struggles, with all its issues, as we dishearten by what we see happening around us, may we keep our eyes focused on you. May you be our first port of call, as you are the Lord Jesus Christ. May we draw from that the love you have for us, the hope you give to us. But so too, Lord, may we not just receive from you, but may we pass that on and offer that hope and that love to those around us. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, in your grace, to pass on hope and life in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we conclude our time together as we sing together that well-known song, In Christ Alone. Thank you again for sharing with us, and I pray that the message of hope, of being hope givers and life givers, is one that lives with us as we exercise God's grace and share that with others. So receive this blessing. May the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit the God of grace, love, and fellowship, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.